Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Oh, welcome in here on a Thursday night to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Hilton here with you as always on a Thursday night. As we get rolling here on Pigskin Picks, it's a big show tonight. We've got a ton of guests. We've got a ton of football to talk about. We'll have our Eastman Credit Union guest picker with us later on the show. That is News Channel 5, WCYB's and Fox Tri-Cities, Casey Getz. He may have moved over the news on us, folks, but we're not giving up on the sports side of Casey quite yet. He will join us as our guest picker later on in the show. We'll recap how our guest picker did last week. It was darn good. We'll also be joined by the Pro Football Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion Jerry Kramer, and Dan Patrick, the sports broadcaster, one of the great ones of the last 30-plus years in the industry, will join us coming up later on in the show as well. Speaking of the great sports broadcasters of the modern era, Zach Hilton, Corey Sanchez here with us as well this evening. Zach, how are you?
Well, that's the first time I've ever been referenced as that, but let me tell you something.
I'm soaking you up, buddy. I'm really warming you up to me.
I appreciate it. I appreciate somebody's got to.
Thank you.
You know, if I was doing any better, guess what? It would be illegal.
Ooh. Well, we don't want that. We don't want that. Hopefully, are you getting paid accurately and adequately at the moment?
I'll have to get my secretary back to you on that.
Get your accountant on that one too.
She handles all my pay stuff.
Thank you. Corey, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, alive and well. I'm like my Washington Commanders. I'm very alive and well.
Yeah, we asked you last week how you're feeling. Buffalo sort of changed probably your temperature on Sunday afternoon. It was a weird Sunday in the NFL. You could be the Denver Broncos, Corey. You could have lost to the Washington Commanders a week prior, lost to the Raiders in week one, and then I'm not even sure what the right way to describe what happened to them in Miami would be, because I'm not sure if it's safe for radio, to be quite honest with you, what happened to them on Sunday afternoon.
They were baptized multiple times in the Miami sun, and they came out of there limping and very sore afterwards. That's all I can say.
Sore with a capital S. And I tell you what, Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, how's that marriage going? Not great. Hey, 5-11, Corey.
Let's
ride. Not great. Not very good.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride. All right, hey, we rode into Big Stone on Friday night, Corey, with Union and Gate City is our big game on WAXM, and Union jumped on them early, and then it got sloppy quick. We still had the same score for pretty much the entire second half, though. Union shuts out the Blue Devils 35-0 as everybody was on the Bears. Corey, your thoughts on what we saw Friday night at Bullet Park?
I think it was part of the course so far this season, or especially early on, Jacob. You know, Union's been dominant in a lot of their games outside of the Science Hill loss. But, you know, a lot of self-inflicted wounds for Gate City. It didn't get started off well for them. I think they may even were on a play of the week in some arid regions. So good for them. And, you know, they look like the better team, did Union. Didn't make a lot of self-inflicted wounds until the game was pretty much out of hand. And, you know, they got to clear up that fumbling thing. Even though they were up by 28 points and stuff, you can't be putting the ball on the carpet like that. And to all fairness to Union, that all changed when Keith Chandler came out of the game with an injury. But it looks like he will be okay. So that is a plus there. But, yeah, in Gate City, they got to go back to square one again.
Yeah, the message we got after the game was that he could have returned if needed. He was not needed. I'm not sure if he's going to be needed this week against Twin Springs. I can't make those decisions for the Bears, but I wouldn't be shocked if maybe we don't see him again until the Ridgeview game next week, making sure he's fully healthy for that big Mountain District clash against the Wolfpack next Friday night at Bullet Park that we'll once again have on WAXM next Friday as well. Zach, Union blows out Gate City, and they make themselves known as not only everybody knew they were a Region 2D favorite after the win over Graham, but everybody was wondering, could they maybe go sleepwalking into the game against Gate City? There was no sleeping around. It was an emphatic blowout of their Mountain District rival.
Yeah, I was at another game, and I checked the score, and I was really shocked. I said, that's got to be a typo. But Union jumped on Gate City earlier, and I think Gate City's been, you know, kind of high, other than this game and the Abingdon game, living pretty high as of early. I think they've got to clean some things up going forward if they want to make a nice little run in the playoffs.
A few notes for me about this game. I was really impressed with Union. Paul Huff, a good night. He had a punt return for a touchdown. He had two interceptions. He played fairly well on offense as well, except for a fumble. Rayshon Anderson, a good night there, quarterback, except for the fumbles again. What did they do, Corey? Three straight plays of fumbles in the second half, three fumbles in four plays. It was something like that we saw at one point at one juncture there in the second half. I will say this, Zach. What does this tell you about a broadcaster when the four high school games he has done this year, these have been the final scores for me? First game, Union Lehigh, it was a final score at halftime of 34-0. Week two, Union Richlands, 41-0. Week three, Patrick Henry blew out J.I. Burton 60-7. Then I took a bye week because I needed one after that game. And then last week we had Union over Gate City 35-0. So my closest game so far this year, Zach, is Union Lehigh, which ended at halftime. What does that say about a broadcaster?
Yeah, I think you've been doing too many games on the CW.
Yeah,
I really think that's what it is.
I'm trying to see if Ion will pick up a few more college football games to add to that WNBA package they have on Friday nights. Oh, maybe sort of replace some Chicago Fire broadcast or maybe some re-airs of NCIS, but it just hasn't worked out for me yet.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Corey? You doing well? Okay, good to hear from you, sir. Corey, we've got a big game coming up Friday night with Central and Abingdon. Central had a bye week this week. J.I. Burton had a bye week. Eastside had a bye week. We're going to see all three of those teams on Friday night on our family stations here at Valley Broadcasting. But let's run through the games who were played and the teams who did play, I should say, on Friday night in Southwest Virginia. Ridgeview blew out Lehigh 48-7. That was the game on WAXM. Graham snuck by Virginia High 21-14. We're on the G-Men. Zach, you're over there in Bluefield. What's going on with the G-Men right now?
Yeah, they got a few issues they need to clean up here pretty quick, but the talent I think will overcome those issues.
Guys, if I told you for 5 weeks that Virginia High would be in next to last place in the Region 2D point standings, would you believe me going into the year? Because that's where we are. That next to last, they're behind John Battle, they're behind Marion, they're behind Lebanon, they're behind Central. They are sitting there in 11th place. Now, to be fair, 8 through 11, Lebanon, Central, John Battle, Virginia High in that order. Lebanon's at 13, Central 12.8, John Battle 12.5, Virginia High 12.4. So there's only 0.6 of a point separating those four teams. But right now, Lebanon would be the last team in, while Central, John Battle, and Virginia High be on the outside. Look again, you know who's in last place.
I know who they're not behind.
That's
who they're not behind.
That'd be Richlands at 8.8 on the point total right now, according to your local statistician. That would be me. Let's run through a couple other scores, and then we'll run through the entire point standings here in just a moment. Patrick Henry blows out John Battle, 49-19. It was Holston shutting out Hurley, 52-0. They almost had to resign that game away there, if you get what I mean. Thank you very much. Honeaker over Grundy, 58-6. Lebanon defeats Richlands, 28-7. Allen and Zach had Lebanon. Myself and Corey had the Blue Tornado. Twin Springs blows out Cumberland Gap, Tennessee, 55-16. We were all on the Titans, and the only difference agreement we had was on Lebanon and Richlands. It went the way of Alan Gregory and Zach Helton. That means Alan and Zach went a perfect 7-for-7 in Virginia last week. Myself and Corey missed 1-6 out of 7. That means the standings in Virginia, we're all tied once again. 36 out of 46 at 78.3% this season, fellas. Look at us go, almost 80%. Hello, everybody. We're about midway point of the year. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Let's hit the point standings here, fellas. Union's in first place at 21.4 points right now. Ridgeview in second at 20. Graham has now moved into third in that third spot at 18.8 at 4-1. Gate City slips the spot if they lost to Union in the fourth place. They'd still get a home game right now, though, at 16.8. Tazewell's in fifth place at 2-2 at 16 flat. Lehigh's in sixth at 2-2 at 15.8, just 0.2 of a point behind the Bulldogs. Marion just 0.5 of a point behind Lehigh's in seventh place at 2-2 at 15.3. And then, as I said a moment ago, Lebanon's in eighth at 13. Ninth place is Central at 12.8. 10th place is John Battle at 12.5. Virginia High is 11th place at 12.4. And then Richlands in last place at 8.8. 8. Right now, the playoffs would be Lebanon at Union, Marion at Ridgeview, Lehigh at Graham. Boy, folks, we see that game almost every year, it feels like. And then Tazewell at Gate City would be a fun first-round matchup between the Bulldogs and the Blue Devils at Legion Field. Let's look at Region 1D. Honeaker still in first place. No surprise there. Undefeated 5-0, 20.8. Twin Springs also undefeated, though, in second place at 18 flat. Chilhowee, first-year head coach Reed Sturgill, in third place at 16.8. Just 0.2 of a point ahead of Hoogee rival Patrick Henry in fourth place at 16.6. Rykove is in fifth at the moment at 16.2. Holston in sixth at 15 flat. Eastside in seventh at 13.8. Grundy, the last team in right now, at 13.3. 0.3 of a point ahead of Thomas Walker, who's in ninth place at 13 flat. Hurley's in 10th at 11.4. We'll see how the Rebels do the rest of the year now with a new head coach. Rural Retreat in 11th at 10 flat, Northwood in 12th at 9.4, Twin Valley at 9 flat and 13, and then J.I. Burton and Castlewood bringing up the rear at J.I. Burton 8.8 in 14th place, Castlewood in 15th place at 7.4. Some thoughts there, Zach, on the points there, and then also obviously some change coming to the Hurley Rebels after some decisions made after Friday night's performance against Holston.
Yeah, and, you know, it's tough that one little rant will get you going, but when it goes viral, it's kind of one of those things anymore that you either get going or we're going to get rid of you. So, you know, we hope the Rebels can kind of push this on. I think John Paul's a good coach. Definitely when things get heated like that, you know, and you get caught on a camera, that's not good. But hopefully he can learn from it as well, and I think hopefully they can all be better for it. And I think the Rebels are still – I think they're still in the mix.
Yes.
You know, they're going to have, Twin Valley, which would be a good game. And then I think if they can squeak in, they may make some noise.
Yeah, and they've still got a chance to win the Black Diamond District. Grundy's still there for them. Twin Valley's still on the schedule. So they've got plenty of opportunities in the weeks to come there for Hurley as the season moves over. Their season's not over with quite yet. But, Corey, when you look at some of those playoff matchups right now, Eastside will travel to Twin Springs right now in the first round of the playoffs. Rykove and Patrick Henry will be a first-round playoff game right now in Glade Springs. Obviously, that may change, obviously, and most likely will. Chilhowee plays host to Holston right now in the first round of the playoffs. Grundy, Honeaker, we just had that game this past week, and it is maybe a first-round playoff game right now as well for them. A lot of good games right now in Region 2D as well, as it is going to be a fun season. We still got a half a year to go before all this comes into play.
Yeah, absolutely, Jake. A lot of slobber knockers on that first week after the playoffs started today. But like I said, we're just getting to week five here, so only halfway through the season. So there's a lot of changes that could happen. But, you know, through the magic of PowerPoints, it'll make it a lot more digestible for us.
Yeah, and hopefully maybe they'll start releasing these sort of things until somebody can stop doing the math on them. Let's look at the games from last week in Northeast Tennessee. Tennessee High defeats Abbott in 28-14. Corey was dealing with the Falcons. That's a love pick. Westridge over David Crockett, 43-7. Westridge, everybody was with the Wolves. Elizabeth in 47. Sullivan East, nothing. Everybody was on the Cyclone. Science Hill defeats William Blunt, 56-28. Myself and Alan Gregory were on the Hilltoppers. Hampton defeats Cloudland, 50-6. Zach was the only one on the Highlanders. And South Green sneaks by West Green, 29-22. We were all on the Rebels. Myself and Allen go a perfect 7-for-7 in Tennessee. Corey and Zach, 5 out of 7 standings in Tennessee now. After 6 weeks, myself 32 out of 40, 80%. Corey and Zach tied for third, 25 out of 40, 62.5% there for Sanchez and Helton. If you're keeping up there, that means Alan Gregory went a perfect 7-for-7 in both Virginia and Tennessee, which means he's 14 out of 14 at this point. That usually means pretty good for you when it comes to the guest picker standings. We'll get to that later on in the show. Let's look at what happened last week in Eastern Kentucky. Pike County Central defeat Ford Central 28-18. We all had PCC. Letcher County Central just barely got by Bradford County 25-21. We all had LCC. Leslie County defeats Paintsville 27-16. We all had LCC. Pineville over Harlan 32-26. We all had Harlan. That's Noobs. Bienville gets win number one of the year. Way to go to the folks out there. Always Tyra standing up. Last week, everyone 3 out of 4 there for Eastern Kentucky. Standings in Kentucky, Jacob 26, Zach 24, Corey 23. High school last week, I had 16, Zach 15, Corey 14. High school standings, myself 94, 77%. Zach 86, 70.5%, and Corey 80, 65.6%. Let's pick some games in Eastern Kentucky, fellas. Ford Central travels to Knott County Central. Ford Central 3-3, Knott County Central 2-4. Who do you like in this matchup, Corey?
Let's go with Floyd Central.
FC on the road for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Floyd Central as well.
That would be everybody on Floyd Central because I'm going to go for the road team as well. Middlesbrough's 3-2. They travel to Harlan, who's 1-5, coming off a tough loss to Pineville. The Bell County teams keep rolling in there to Harlan to see if they can keep racking up some wins. Zach, how do they do this time?
Yeah, we love the fine folks of Middlesbrough. I'm going to go Middlesbrough on the road.
Middlesbrough for Zach. Corey.
Yeah, let's go with the Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets for me as well. A little bit of a slow start here for Larry French's bunch, but I think they get win number 4 Friday night. Give me Middlesbrough on the road. Johnson Central's 4-2. They travel to Corbin. They're 5-0. Corey, who gets the big win Friday night?
Let's go with Colonel Sanders.
That would be Corbin. Zach.
I'm going to go fighting Chris Stapleton's in this one.
Johnson Central. A little bit there. A little love for their famous people on both sides of that. I'm going to go for the home team. Give me Corbin and move to 6-0. Rockcastle County's 5-1. They travel to take on Bell County. They're 6-0. Dudley Hilton's Blue Devils. Wildcats. Bobcats. I'll get that right in a moment. Let's go for the third choice. They're the Bell County Bobcats. I don't know what I'm doing there. Bell County 6-0. Zach, who do you like in this matchup? I think I already know.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rockcastle County in this one.
Never going to pick Bell County. Corey?
I will go where Zach left his heart, in Bell County.
I will go Bell County as well. Give me the fighting Dudley Hilton.
Love is a battlefield.
That is the Bobcats at home to move to 7-0. Coming up, let's talk some college football. Ohio State gets by Notre Dame in very close fashion. Also, we'll touch on a few other topics, including Colorado taking loss number 1 of the prime era there in Boulder. And it's time to do the Eliminator. We'll touch on that as we continue as well. And we'll give our leadership award sponsored by good delegate Terry Kilgore when we return right after this on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my Food City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. As we continue here tonight on Pigskin Picks, Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton joining us here. Jerry Kramer coming up in the next segment, followed by Dan Patrick. And then we'll pick some games with Casey Getz later on the show as well. Jam-packed show for you here tonight, fellas. But let's go ahead and get to the most important topic of this segment. That is our leadership award. That's sponsored by the good delegate, Terry Kilgore. As he's always supporting our area, and our leadership award winner this week is a guy that's been supporting this team for the last couple of years at quarterback. That's Landon Lane at Rye Cove. He had almost 100 yards passing, 63 rushing yards, and 4 touchdowns for the Eagles in their blowout win over Castlewood in their 2nd Cumberland District win of the season last week, as the Rye Cove Eagles blew out Castlewood 70-0. For the Eagles and Gary Collier, our good delegate, Terry Kilgore, leadership award winner for this week, Landon Lane. And fellas, I tell you what, the Cumberland District continues to get a ton of love on this show, Zach.
That's all you got to say. We love the Cumberland District.
We love them. We have proof of it. Proof. We have proof.
Yeah.
Corey, you're a Scott County guy now. Rycove and Landon Lane continue to roll.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some of the best concessions. They've got one of the biggest programs out there in Scott County. It's like most of the guys down there at Rycove are on the football team this year. They had a great turnout, and they're just turning it out there. I just want to get one of those cinnamon dip pretzels.
Is that their big item at the concession stand?
They've got the Eagle's Nest, too, I think, which is pretty good. I think that's like, I don't know what it is exactly, but it looked good last time I saw it.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe we can figure out a way to get you over there on a Friday night. We'll see if we can do that. Let's talk some games, though, fellas, as they didn't need concessions to get people to the game in South Bend this past week. Ohio State, the number 6 team in the country, defeats Notre Dame, the number 9 team in the country, 17-14. Alan Gregor is the only one on the Buckeyes, as he took Ohio State last week, as that gets some people excited, as Ohio State gets the close win over South Bend and the Irish, as they get the win on the almost last play of the game. And they showed some physicality on that play there, fellas, to take a little shot there at Lou Holtz for Ryan Day. Zach, Ohio State had a lot of doubt about them, but they go in there and they claw out a close one over Notre Dame. What'd you find out about the Buckeyes?
Yeah, a battle of two of the most insufferable fan bases in all sports, I would say. And here's the thing to Lou Holtz. If Lou Holtz has ever driven on I-77 and seen Ohio drivers, he would know that those folks are really aggressive.
Oh,
anyway.
I can confirm that from recent times.
You know, Ohio drivers are awful. But all that being said, you know, I think that's a great win for Ohio State. I think that kind of sends them in the right direction. And I think they're in the driver's seat right now.
And Corey, Ohio State, and Kyle McCord, their quarterback, there was a lot of doubt about him. Boy, he was excited after the game. I thought he was the one who ran in the touchdown. Then I had to remember, oh, wait, it wasn't him. It was his running back that actually made the big play there to win the game for them. But Notre Dame, only 10 players on the field for Marcus Freeman's bunch on the last two plays.
Yeah, that's a little brain neutral right there by the Fighting Irish. But, Jacob, I just want to give you a bit of advice because I'll probably do this later in the show. Sometimes – you have to side on the side of comfort for future. You have to have foresight. So just make sure next time you got a little foresight.
It's worked out okay for me. That's all I'm gonna say. Ohio State.
It didn't work
Notre
out
Dame.
For you this week.
Well, no, I'm not saying about the game. I'm saying about other things in life as well. Ohio State 17, Notre Dame 14 in that win there for the Buckeyes over the Irish. As Ohio State stays undefeated, Notre Dame drops their first loss of the year. First loss of the year, therefore, the Irish in that loss to Ohio State. Let's hit the Big Ten. Penn State of Iowa 31-0 on Penn State. Washington State defeats Oregon State 38-35. Myself and Zach had the Cougars in that win there for Washington State. Alabama 24, Ole Miss 10. Zach was the only one on Ole Miss. And Zach, when is Lane Kiffin going to finally win a big game?
Hopefully this week.
You think so? Maybe over LSU. We'll see. We'll see. Didn't happen this time around. I'm trying to remember his biggest one as a head coach. He beat Georgia his 1 year at Tennessee, but Georgia went 7-5 that season in 2009.
We may have to go back to his Raider days.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since they were able to do anything in that regard for a big win there for the Lane Kiffin, whether that be at Tennessee, USC. He still didn't have any big wins at Florida Atlantic. He did win a conference championship there, but let's be real for a few moments, if we may. For the team there that he was with, the Owls in Boca Raton, they're still looking for his first big win. Got another chance against LSU this week. Oregon defeats Colorado 42-6. Zach was the only one in Colorado. Corey, Colorado, a little bit of the train falling off the tracks there against a really good football team. Oregon just steamrolled them in Autzen Stadium in Eugene.
Yeah, did you hear Lanning's speech up there? They're there for
wins, not clicks.
Wins, not clicks and everything. And you know, I guess they felt like Deion Sanders was going to tiptoe up in there on that. And they didn't even tiptoe. I don't think they walked into Oregon. did the Buffalo. So, you know, it's bounced back. It's a very humbling experience for all us lifelong Buffalo fans of this season. So, you know, hey, we'll see how it goes. And they got to bounce back. They got another tough task against the defending Heisman Trophy candidate champion and Caleb Williams in USC getting ready to roll up there in the Boulder.
And we'll see how Deion handles losing. We've seen how they handle winning. We'll see how they handle losing now for Colorado. He already had a few comments in his postgame.
I mean, he wasn't at Dallas for a little bit, so he should be able to handle
that. Wow, okay. There you go. There you go. There's your shot that you knew was going to be coming at some point on tonight's show. Utah defeats UCLA 14-7. We all have the Utes. Allen and Zach pick Florida State over Clemson. They came back and won 31-24 in overtime. Tough one there for Clemson at home. Could have stayed at the ship there for the Tigers. Interesting number this weekend as they head over to Syracuse. Syracuse only a 6.5-point dog, and they've been giving Clemson some issues for a number of years. It's an interesting number, that's all I'm saying. And that matchup there between the Tigers and the Orange. Kentucky defeat Vanderbilt 45-28. We all have the Wildcats. Marshall gets by Virginia Tech 24-17. We all have the Thunder incurred. NC State beats Virginia in a close one 24-21. We all have the Wolfpack. It was Wingate defeating Emory Henry 31-10. Allen was the only one of the Wasps, and it was Limestone blowing out UVA Wise 38-17. We all had the Saints. Last week, myself and Allen were 10 out of 12 in college. Folks, that means Allen Gregor went 24 out of 26 last week. That's the best number we've ever had. We'll give you the official percentage point coming up here when we do our picks and run for the standings later on. That's the best showing we've ever had for a guest picker on this show's history. That's our third year of doing a guest picker. Best showing of all time. Corey, 9 out of 12. Zach, 8 out of 12. Standings in college, myself, 28. Corey, 25. Zach, 24. Any final thoughts here, fellas, on Allen Gregory before we move on? We're going to touch on it there of Casey coming up later on in the show as well. But final thoughts on the performance by Allen Gregory on the picks last week.
I think if we have a Hall of Fame, he's got to be a first ballot.
First ballot, put him on a Mount Rushmore by himself. Only one head on the Mount Rushmore of guest pickers.
Yeah, I think that we learned a couple of things, that Allen is the GOAT, and you and him are very kindred spirits, Jacob. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Allen, he's a longtime friend of this show, longtime friend of us as well, and he showed up well in that one. And you know what? It was because, Corey, I think it's because he knew he was going to see us Friday night as he came over to Big Stone Gap for the Gate City Union battle. How about the star power we had there that night? Tanner Cook from the Times News, Allen Gregor from the Herald Courier. We already know Casey Getz is going to be there. James Colley was there, Zach Helton. We had star power in that press box. I'm surprised they didn't fall
Dave
over.
Dirt.
Dave Dirks was there. Yeah, I don't think he made his way into the press box, but he was there passing around some food.
I should have came over there. That's what I should have done.
You should have. Yes, we could have used some more star power. You would have been a great assistance in that regard, because I walked out of the press box at one point, Corey, and I'm not sure. I mean, I almost needed sunglasses for the star power that was walking through Bullitt Park on Friday night. I mean, it was impressive, and even sometimes the greatest broadcaster in the state of Virginia, I think, was there as well. All right, let's hit the eliminator, Corey. College football, let's run through the teams here. Alabama, USC, LSU, Michigan is Corey's team. My team's Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Texas. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Utah. Corey, all your guys won last week, a little bit closer than maybe some would like, and both USC and LSU, maybe even Alabama there as well. We haven't made any changes in a couple weeks. How about this time around?
See here, I forgot who my eliminator team was until you reiterated, because it got cut off.
I saw that. I don't know what happened there, but I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I think somebody's trying to pull a little hoodoo on us. That's what it is, but I won't touch that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? Who's that fourth team I have?
Michigan.
LSU, Michigan. I think I'm going to stay pat.
Going to stay pat?
I'm going to stay pat for one more year, one more day.
We got a few big games there for some teams. USC travels to Colorado. LSU travels to Ole Miss. We'll see what happens for you this coming week. I'm going to stay pat as well. Yes, Notre Dame lost to Ohio State, but I'm not giving up on the Irish quite yet. And then the other three, I've got inside the top six right now inside the AP poll. I'm going to stay with those guys as well, obviously. I'm going to stick with that group, and I will stay pat with my four. Zach, your team is Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Utah. They all stay undefeated as Ohio State and Florida State stay alive, as does the Utes. You sticking with your squad as they're all right now all inside the top 10 in the AP poll.
Yeah, four undefeated teams, four in the top 10. I think I'm going to stay put.
Everybody's staying put right now for the Eliminator. Maybe some changes coming next week, though, depending upon how some results go. Utah travels to Oregon State. We'll obviously pick to those games as well later on. USC, Colorado, LSU, Ole Miss, and we'll touch on a few other ones as well. Texas hosts Kansas this coming week. Notre Dame travels to Duke. We'll touch on all those when we pick some games later on with our guest picker, our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Casey Getz, coming up later on in the show. Coming up next, though, Jerry Kramer, the Pro Football Hall of Famer and the two-time Super Bowl champion, will join us to preview his book, Run to Win, that's came out this month. Also, the legendary sports broadcaster Dan Patrick will join us coming up later on to preview his book as well, The Occasional Accurate Annals of Football, that is coming up there this month as well. That's all coming up as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us coming up later on in the show. Remember, also coming up, we've got the famous sports broadcaster Dan Patrick joining us here later tonight, as well as we continue here this evening on Pigskin Picks. But now we turn our attention to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion Jerry Kramer joining us here tonight. Jerry joining us along with his co-author Bob Fox as they're promoting their new book, Run to Win, My Packers Life from Lombardi to Canton. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure being with you, Jacob. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you very much for joining us. And Bob, thank you for joining us as well. And I know certainly you want to make sure people understand where they can purchase the new book at, as it's just been released this month.
Yes, actually today is the official publication day of the book. People were able to pre-order it previously starting in April, but if people want to order it, you can go to places like Triumph Books, who is our publisher, the number one sports publication company in the country, by the way. Then there's also Amazon, Walmart, Target, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and other bookstore outlets. And for Packer fans out there, you can also order it from the Packers Pro Shop inside the Lambeau Field atrium. And so far, from what I hear, the sales have been pretty brisk, which is what we like to hear.
Very good, very good. And Jerry, this isn't a new venture for you. You've wrote books before, including one of the more famous sports books of all time, really, Instant Replay, that you wrote with the late, great Dick Schaap during your playing career with the Green Bay Packers. Why write another book?
A lot of stories off the field. This is not really about the Green Bay Packers. It's about my life and some of the experiences I had in the football world. And it was a wonderful series of memories and great times. And just I've had such a fortunate life and was accepted by so many folks in different places. And I always had a handful of stories that I hadn't published. And Bob talked me into doing a book, and I'm pretty pleased with it. It's been just a series of memories and great times, and mostly with the guys, you know, that's spent most of my last 40, 50 years with the players or hanging out with them or playing golf with them or doing charity events with them or whatever, but just a great bunch of guys, and I feel very fortunate to have been a part of that.
And, Jerry, when people think the Green Bay Packers, certainly of the generation of which you played for them, I think the first name that comes to mind is Vince Lombardi, obviously. He's the man whose name's still on this trophy that's given to the Super Bowl champion every year. What is misunderstood by the people who were never around Lombardi that look at him as this, whether it's a gruff guy, this competitive guy, this guy that was all about winning? What did you see from being his player and then also obviously still knowing him until he passed away just a few years after that, after he was coaching with the Redskins? What is misunderstood about Vince Lombardi's life?
Well, he could be very gruff and very difficult at times, as in, Mr., the concentration period of a college student is 5 minutes, high school is 3 minutes, kindergarten is 30 seconds, and you don't have that, so where did that put you? Well, put you checking your shoe shine, right? Sure. And your head down and feeling bad, and then you'd go up to the locker room and shuck your hat and your shoulder pads off and chin in your hand, elbow on your knee, checking on the carpet of the locker room and wondering what you're going to do the rest of your life. And he was out working with the wide receivers and Bart on pass patterns. He finally came in the room about an hour after I did, and he came over to where I was deep in thought, and he messed up my hair and patted me on the back of the neck and kind of pushed me a little bit and said, son, one of these days you're going to be the best guard in football. Hmm. So he would make up for his loud noises. He would make them, and you didn't want to hear them again. He accomplished his goals, but then he would soften them. He would never let you leave the locker room or the meeting without repairing the communication process. So people didn't see that. They didn't see the other side of him, the soft side of him. But he was a wonderful emotional package, and he was a great human being as well as a wonderful coach. And he understood the power of the will, and it's a long and involved process to talk about it, but it makes an incredible difference if you want to, if you really, really, really want to. So maybe we can do that another time, but it's something that I learned and I used in all the time that I played. I would prepare myself emotionally with the will, the fire, the burn, the hunger, the want, the drive. And he was wonderful at creating that.
Yeah, Jerry Kramer.
Jacob, could I add
go
one
ahead, Bob.
Thing?
Yes, please. Quick? Yes, please.
Yes, just about Coach Lombardi and Jerry. You know, one of the more famous instances of when Jerry talked to the media about Coach Lombardi was after the Ice Bowl, when Tom Brookshire asked him about Coach Lombardi, and this was like a week or two after a bad article had come out in one of the magazines, Esquire magazine, I believe, where it compared Coach Lombardi to Mussolini, and a pigeon walking around with his chest thrown out. It was just a terrible hatchet job by this particular writer. Anyway, Tom Brookshire asked him about Coach Lombardi, and Jerry said, people don't understand Coach Lombardi. They don't know him, but we know him. We understand him, and we love him. This is one beautiful man. And then after that interview, at some point, Coach Lombardi got a call in the locker room from his mentor, Red Blake, who coached in Army. And Blake told Coach Lombardi, he goes, Vince, a great victory, but greater were the words of Kramer, who stilled those who are skeptical about you as a person. So I just thought that was an excellent passage there. And that's in the book.
Very good. And the relationship of Lombardi and his players always interests me. I certainly have read a ton about him. Obviously, the book by David Marinus, When Pride Still Mattered, one of the greatest books, sports books of all times, that I think about that as well. But Jerry Kramer and Bob Fox joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Their new book, Out Run to Win, My Packers Life from Lombardi to Canton. Jerry wrote it along with Bob about his not only his life, but also his football career as well. Bob brought up, Jerry, the Ice Bowl, the 1967 NFL championship game, one of the most famous games in the sports history. And you were a major part of that win there for the Packers that day over the Cowboys. Now we sit here, what is that, 56 years now later since that game. What is the major memories for you from that game, one of the most famous games in NFL history that you still think about, when obviously most people just look at that last clip from the NFL Films video of Bart Starr sneaking it in? Obviously you were part of that there of the offensive line getting a push from the Cowboys. What is the memories from you from that game from 1967?
Well, the whole package was part of a highlight film in my life, but we were watching film, short yardage films, on Thursday prior to that Sunday game. And we were getting near the end of the films, and I noticed that my defensive tackle that I was responsible for most of the time was higher than he should have been. His first move was up instead of forward. Now that Bob Lilly is on the other side, and Bob Lilly's nose is about 8 or 10 inches from the turf, and you can't wedge him with a D9 cat, right? He just is in a position where you just can't block him. But Jethro's coming up. And so I'm watching the films and on Thursday, and we're about done, and I said, "Coach, we can wedge Pugh if we have to." And he barks at me like, "What?" And I said, "We can wedge Pugh if we have to. Run that back." So he ran the play back 3 or 4 times. And he goes, "That's right. Put in a wedge on Pugh." Now, you're thinking of a short yardage situation when you suggest that. And it's probably in the 50-yard line or the 40-yard line or anywhere but the 1-yard line with 13 seconds to go. If you knew ahead of time that they were going to call your number with 13 seconds to go and you had all this pressure on you to make the block, you might have kept your mouth shut and not said anything. But I kind of volunteered myself, and in the play itself, Jethro came up just like he did in the previous films that we'd watched, and Bobo and I got into him and put him backwards a little bit. And the next thing I wanted to do was I wanted to turn around and see Bart in the end zone, make sure that he had made it. And I turned while I'm laying on the ground, and I saw Bart almost next to me, and we got it done. We got it done. So the pressure was on to do it for the guys, for the team. You know, it wasn't just Jerry. It was the whole team, and it was on to the Super Bowl after that game and after that particular play. So it was a big moment, a small play, but a big moment, and I am very comfortable about having called that play and picked up Jethro for being high. And I'm sure Jethro got a lot of heat from his guys.
The ability to pick that out, the ability and the gift of playing ability you have that led to you have the chance to have that sort of pressure on you for that moment is a big reason why you led your way into the Pro Football Hall of Fame after a long wait in 2018 in Canton, Ohio, Jerry. You waited longer than almost anybody else to get in there. What was the moment like for you of getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but also the wait? How tough was that during all those years, knowing that there was a ton of people out there fighting for you that believed you deserved to be in there if you were bust in Canton, Ohio, but the wait for you as well into finally making it there in 2018?
Well, I was a finalist for 11 consecutive years, year after year after year after year after year after year. And I, in the early years, I got pretty angry, and I didn't want to talk about it, and I didn't want to say anything, and I just was angry. And then I kind of came together with myself and said, "Hey, fool, it's not anything you can affect with your anger. You've had a wonderful career. You've been with a wonderful team and a great bunch of guys. So shut up and just let it play out as it will." And so I kind of came to an accommodation with myself and kind of got comfortable being not in the Hall of Fame, although all of my brothers and all of my teammates were going in, and you couldn't ignore it, but you just had to feel better about it and not be a jerk about it. So I'm not sure exactly who the individual was in there that voted, or two more that voted against me for those 11 years, but I don't want to know. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride, and being in the Hall of Fame kind of was like the cherry on top of the ice cream. So it's been a wonderful time. I enjoyed the hall and all the guys and being there and feeling like I belong there. And it's just a great part of my life is to have been there, and it means a great deal to me.
Bob, you've known Jerry a long time for the years of Green Bay. What was that moment like for you, knowing what he had been through to try to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? How much that sort of was there on him there? Every time that time came around, a Super Bowl weekend, everybody was asking him, Jerry, do you think this could be your year? Do you think this could be your year? Knowing that was finally his time, what was that moment like for you?
Well, it's funny. When I first met Jerry, it was 1991, just before Super Bowl 25 in Tampa. And I saw Jerry on a golf course. He had a golf event with the celebrities just prior to that Super Bowl, and I saw Jerry golfing there. And I had written a letter to Packer Report about why Jerry deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And in between holes, I showed the letter to Jerry, and he looked at it and was touched by it. And we chatted for a few minutes, and we figured, you know, he's going to get in sooner rather than later. Little did we know it would be 27 years later. And anyway, about 10 years after I showed Jerry that letter, I actually was a writer for Packer Report, and I promoted Jerry's induction at Packer Report. I promoted his induction in Bleacher Report, where I also worked in my own site, et cetera, for many years. And then finally, you know, and you know, getting to know, I wanted to peel inside the onion, so to speak, or peel the onion back, and I got to know people like Rick Goslin, who's really the guy who runs the seniors committee for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as far as the voters. And he, you know, finally, and by the way, Rick wrote the introduction in our book.
Okay.
He talks about that whole process. But anyway, it was really an emotional time for me. I think for all of Packer Nation family, it was just such a thankful time. And I was so happy it finally got done. And it's just, I was in Canton when Jerry got enshrined, and it was just, there wasn't a dry eye in the section I was sitting in, that I can tell you.
Jerry Kramer and Bob Fox joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. Jerry's new book that was co-authored by Bob, Run to Win, My Packers Life from Lombardi to Canton. You can find it on Amazon and also through their publisher, Triumph Books. Jerry, I look at the cover of that book, and I see, as Bob brought up the introduction by Rick Goslin, but I see the foreword by Jeremy Schapp, and relationships are so important to you. Jeremy, the son of Dick Schapp, the man who you wrote those books with during your career and afterwards earlier on in previous books you've written along with him. Relationships matter to you, including your teammates, your coaches you talked about earlier. And one of those teammates that I'm certain the relationships matter to you is Carol Dell, who's close and dear to us here because we're sitting here in Norton, Virginia. Carol's house is about 12 minutes up from me right now in Wise, Virginia. He's a legend in this area and still around, and one of the all-time great people you'd ever meet, as me and you were talking about before this interview. What is it that people can find in this book about your relationships with your teammates and Carol Dell specifically?
Carol was and Boyd Dowler were the two wide receivers that split out and made our life enjoyable. They were both very, very qualified for the job. I don't remember ever having Carol or Boyd make a mistake that cost us a yard or two or a game or anything like that. I think they just, their play was flawless. It just was perfect. And Carol was very bright, had to be in that position with that pressure and that situation and execute to the point where it was great for the team. He was a tremendous addition to the team, as was Boyd. So we were very fortunate to have those guys. And we had a lot of Coach Lombardi would give you that chewing like I talked about earlier in the show. And then he would pat you on the back or pat you on the neck or hug you or make amends. And he hardly ever, I don't ever remember him getting on Carroll's case or Boyd's. And so they just did their job. They did it quietly. They did it extremely well. And they were a great addition to that Super Bowl era and that Packer era. And I think we were very fortunate to have them both on the team.
Jerry Kramer and Bob Fox joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM, the newest book that Jerry wrote along with Bob, Run to Win, My Packers Life from Lombardi to Canton. Bob, will you once again tell our listeners where they can find the book before we let you two go?
They can find it at Triumph Books, which is our publisher, Amazon, Target, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, other book outlets like that. The Packer Pro Shop also has Run to Win. You can either buy it at Lambeau at the Atrium, or you can order it online. And I just want to also mention that you mentioned Carroll. One of our longer chapters about teammates of Jerry is about Carroll. And so just want to let your listeners know that Carroll gets a nice chapter. And I'm like you. I've talked to Carroll a couple of times, and what a great guy. What a great guy.
Couldn't agree with you more, Bob, and thanks so much for joining us today. Jerry, thank you so much as well. I can't wait to dive into this book. I've read Instant Replay. It was written a little bit before my time, I'm not going to lie to you, but I've read it, enjoyed it deeply, and I can't wait to read this one as well. And thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out with us today.
Great to be with you. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jerry Kramer and Bob Fox. Thank you very much. Jerry Kramer and Bob Fox joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. We'll be right back right after this.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will rejoin me coming up later on in the show as we'll pick some games this week in high school football and college football around the area here tonight. But we're now joined by one of the legendary sports broadcasters over the last couple of decades, and that is Dan Patrick of the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio and Peacock every weekday from 9 a.m. until noon. Also, formerly, obviously, of SportsCenter, ESPN, Football Night in America on NBC. But he's joining us today to promote his new book that just came out earlier this month, The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, The NFL's Greatest Players, Play, Scandals, and Screw-Ups, plus stuff we totally made up. Drew, Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Jacob.
Dan, as somebody who's a massive fan of your show, I should also say 5'9", 200. Thank you very much. You can go ahead and make the ding yourself there if you'd like.
Ding?
Thank you, sir. Very much. Thank you. Where did the idea for this book come from?
Well, the co-writer, Joel Cohen, writes for The Simpsons, and Joel called me up and he said, I'm going to write you in an episode. I need you to play an announcer. Homer is in a rock-skipping contest, and I said, sure. And he said, you know, while I have you, I got a couple of questions. And I find this with a lot of people where they have these questions and they want to tell somebody, they want to ask the question. So he had a couple of different things that he wanted to bring up about sports. And so he threw out a couple of topics. And I go, okay, you know, like the butt fumble. He had something about how to fix penalties, the problems with the Jets, things you don't bring to a tailgate. And then I started throwing things back at him, and we were sort of playing verbal tennis. And he goes, would you think about writing a book? And I go, I'll think about it, but I don't want to. He goes, no. I'll write half, and then you write half. And then I got some friends who have written for Saturday Night Live and Big Bang Theory and Modern Family. And I go, sure, why not? I didn't think I was going to hear from him again about this topic. And calls me back, tells me, you know, here's the script for The Simpsons. And, oh, by the way, I have a publisher interested. And I go, you got to be bleeping. And he goes, nope, they are. And I go, oh, boy. And so we sort of went our separate ways, went down into our laboratories and just collaborated. And then we you know, went back and forth a couple of times. And next thing you know, we've got a book. So I'm very proud of it. It's fun. And we try to do justice to the NFL. And there are times that, you know, we take poetic license with some topics, but that's okay. I hope everybody has a sense of humor when they read this.
Hopefully so. I've read a good bit of it already, Dan. I've really enjoyed it. Did you let Fritzy have any taste of this? You know, Fritzy obviously has got a stand-up comedy history that you've, you know, sort of fostered yourself. Have you let Fritzy have any touch on this?
Oh, good God, no.
Okay.
No. These are professional comedians and writers that I use, not Fritzy.
Fritzy.
Fritzy has observational humor without the humor. And therefore, not exactly a recipe for being a great stand-up comedian.
Well, I was sort of thumbing through the book last night. I was looking for the mock headlines portion. I never saw it. I never saw mock headlines, holiday nicknames of NFL players. Never saw any of it. I was a little disappointed.
Well, I might, you know, we might do a basketball and a baseball version of this.
Okay.
Maybe there could be a mock headline segment. You know what? I'll put that under advisement.
Thank you. Just put a little credit at the back end of the book for me. Or you know what? Hey, you know, Adam Sandler did such a wonderful job with the foreword of this one. Don't be afraid to give me a call if you, you know, maybe want somebody else to do the next one for the basketball or football or baseball version of it. You brought up the book part of this. As somebody who's obviously, if you can't tell yet, Dan, a pretty big fan of you and your work and your show, would you ever be interested in writing an autobiography?
No, I've been broached with that. I think I share enough on the air as it is. When you're doing 3 hours live every day and, you know, we talk about a variety of things. It's not just sports. You're talking about life, you know, raising children, like walking your daughters down the aisle, you know, just normal things. And I don't know if I want to share more than what I've already shared. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. I was honored that a couple of times people have reached out, but I don't think that's going to happen.
And Dan Patrick joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. You bring up the fact of that other stuff you talked about. Recently, in recent months, one of the things you brought up on the show is the fact of that you had said you announced your retirement for a few years from now. It was more of you trying to announce a contract extension, just maybe didn't word it quite the way everybody was expecting on either the other side of the glass, on the other side of the radio or television. You're now, what, 70 years old, Dan? Correct me if I'm wrong. You've done a lot in your career. What else is there that you want to do before you retire?
I'm 67.
Oh, okay, I was close. Don't judge me.
No, that's not close. When you get to be 67, you want to make sure that they get 67.
67's right. Get that right, darn it. Okay, that's on me.
Yes.
E me, Dan. E me.
I don't know if I have anything in particular that I've worked to the Olympics. I've handed out the Super Bowl trophy. I've done 18 years at SportsCenter. Interviewed just about everybody to interview. Cover the World Series, NBA final. So I've been at the event. This is what I wanted to do when I was growing up. I didn't have a plan B. I wanted to be able to be at these events, cover these athletes, cover these stories. And I've been doing it for 40 years. So I'll get out with around 45 years of memories. And that I'm very lucky. I'm in the minority of being able to do this. on a daily basis and at this level for a consistent amount of time.
Well, and it's been a phenomenal run for you, and I've got the new book sitting here next to me. The one underneath it is The Big Show that you wrote for Keith Olbermann now over 20-plus years ago as well. And it's certainly a career to certainly be respected. Before we get into other topics here, Dan, I want to make sure, do you have anything else you'd like to say about Qualcomm before we move on?
I'm only here to talk about Qualcomm.
Very good. Okay.
You know what? When you have live interviews, you never know what direction they're going in. And that's why, you know, 99.9% of the interviews we do are live. I don't like to do taped interviews. I like it to be in the moment. I like it to, you know, be natural, be real. And sometimes you get an athlete who or a coach who says something and it doesn't go well. And Matt Harvey did not understand that I ask you a question, you give me an answer, and then you want to plug your product. It's called Quid Pro Quo. And he was only here to talk about Qualcomm because they were paying him. And it didn't last long.
No.
But it's one of those that anytime somebody brings up Matt Harvey, we always bring up, I'm not here to talk about Qualcomm.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I think about, as a longtime watcher and listener of your show, I think about some of the ones I've seen live. And I was watching live the day of Matt Harvey. I think about Kyler Murray at the Super Bowl, where it led to you finally just yelling to his dad, Dan. My God, you yelled to his dad live on the air. Hey, Dad! You have an answer for this question? I think about Mike Scioscia, the former manager for the Angels. I maybe remember sort of an awkward interview of him one time. Eric Reed, the former defensive back for the 49ers before he became famous for other things. You had an awkward interview of him, and I believe the phone cut out, and you just told Fritzy, hey, don't worry about it, Fritzy. We're good. We're good. We're good on this end. You don't need to try to reconnect. We're good on this end.
Yeah, it's live.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I tell people. If there are a lot of people in the business who tape their interviews, then they edit them and you could make them clean and sound pretty. That's not what we do. I want it to be, if it's awkward, it's awkward.
Yeah.
If it's good, if it's emotional, if it's angry, if it's funny, then great. That's what it is. But that's the fun part of it. I love I did SportsCenter. It was live. There was nothing. If something happened, then you had to deal with it. If highlight wasn't there, teleprompter wasn't there, somebody screws up, whatever it might be, that's part of what this business is. How do you adapt? And that's what you have to do every day. Something comes up and you go, okay, we'll do this. No worries. We'll make this work. And we've had a couple of those interviews. But, I take great pride in interviewing. I want to be great. I want every interview to be great. I never want to waste somebody's time when they're sitting in their car. Or I want you to be late to work because you don't want to get out of your car. That's my goal every single day with an interview. Doesn't always work, obviously, but I'm trying to get something that nobody else is getting. And, we've been very fortunate to have a lot of wonderful, interesting, funny moments.
Well, the one as a longtime fan of the show, when I talk to people, they go, well, what's your favorite interview? I always think about the one you did in the old studio. The late, great comedian Norm Macdonald was on the show. It was right after Michael Sam got drafted, and I'm not going to say what he said, but he made a comment about that, and it was one of those that just made you laugh. Like, and it was Norm Macdonald, so no surprise it made you laugh, but that's one of those I always think about when I think about your greatest interviews. I always think about the one with Norm, because you had Norm on several times. I'm sure you remember what he said. I'm not going to say it. You're not going to say it, I'm sure, either. But I believe he texted you back after and said, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to say, I'm sorry. But
well, a lot of times, comedians just talk.
Yeah.
They never worried about, somebody saying, hey, you can't say that. All you have to do is say, I'm a comedian. But there are times when people, and then you have to admonish them. You can't say that. you got to be careful with that. I remember when Shaq, I told him about Yao Ming, and that we had Yao Ming on through an interpreter, and he said he couldn't wait to face Shaq. And so I told Shaq that, and then Shaq went into his impersonation of what he thought Yao Ming sounded like, sounding Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go well. And, we had people who were angry, and rightfully so. And I had to apologize for Shaq it was live. I didn't know what he was going to say. And he started going into this impersonation of somebody who being Chinese, this is what they sound like. And so my bosses were like, you apologize. I go, I didn't do anything. They go, you apologize. I go, all right, I apologize. I told Shaq that later. And he goes, Dan Patrick, I would have apologized for you. And I go, nah, it's okay, Shaq. Don't worry about it.
You're good. It's all taken care of on this. And speaking of NBA players, the Kevin Garnett interview from years ago as well. I think about it, live interviews and things you can't really help when it's live. I think about the Garnett one quite often in that regard, too.
We were talking to Reggie Miller, and Kevin Garnett knocks on Reggie's door. And Reggie's like, hold on. And it's Kevin Garnett. Oh, put Kevin on. And then Kevin starts cursing. And then I said, no, we're live. Like, and he goes, oh, kids, don't use that language. And I'm going, damage done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't heard from the FCC, which, that, you know, obviously that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you've heard from some lawyers in the past about some T-shirts that you made. Hopefully the FCC doesn't follow behind on any of those anytime soon. Dan Patrick joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. His newest book, The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, the NFL's Greatest Players, Plays, Scandals, and Screw-Ups, plus stuff we totally made up. Find it wherever books are sold right now. I was driving today, Dan, and I don't want to promote somebody else's work, but Ryan Russillo, I was listening to his podcast earlier, and he was recapping NFL Sunday, and he was giving out an award for the Sunday, and it was about the official whose name has left me in the Seahawks-Lions game who told Geno Smith, excuse me, I'm talking to America.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to use this, the Dan Patrick, I'm entertaining America. He said there was a story back in the old days at ESPN that you were walking in one night and they were doing a big security check. There was during a big time when they were sort of upping the security there in Bristol. And you got stopped because you didn't have your badge in front of you there, your ID badge. And you looked at the security guard and said, excuse me, I've got to go entertain America. Ryan, I don't know if Ryan's had the chance to ask you this or not. I'll ask you for him. Is that a true story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It happened to me twice. One time, security didn't recognize me, and I just walked in. I didn't think I had to show my badge.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I need to see your badge. And I go, I don't have it. He said, well, I can't let you in. I go, I got to go. I got to go entertain America. And the other time, when I had left ESPN, I hadn't been back in 10 years, and Scott Van Pelt invited me up. And I walked in, and
visitor badge.
Guy, he said, you got an ID? I said, no, I'm supposed to be on Scott Van Pelt's show. And he goes, I got to put a visitor's badge on you. And I said, I helped build this place. And he goes, I got to put a name tag on it. And so he put visitor on there. And then I was getting ready to go on the air with Van Pelt, and his producer said, you got to take off your name badge there. I go, no. I'm wearing that on the air. And you can see it where Van Pelt's interviewing me, and I've got, you know, visitor on at the place that I worked 18 years.
I remember that episode, first night of his new show. Came on after Ohio State, Virginia Tech. I remember that, yeah, when he got the Sports Center standalone show. Ironically, left Russillo to go do that from the radio side. On that part of it there, Dan, I so many things I was I'd love to get with you. And the interviews part of it was something we were talking about earlier. One of the best players I thought you ever interviewed, and you interviewed him a number of times and haven't in a long time, I'm sure for a number of reasons, was Aaron Rodgers. When you had Rodgers on, I thought you all were as good as anybody of getting stuff out of him. He's a wonderful interview, and we see that now with McAfee as well, with his latest work with him. But when he was with you, Lebatard, anybody, was just really good. Obviously, Rodgers in the news with the injury last week for the Jets. What's your thoughts on the future for Aaron Rodgers and New York this year? And what is the relationship that you have with him now?
I haven't spoken to him in a while. And, you know, I think he sought out McAfee. McAfee didn't really know him, wasn't friends with him. But I think Rodgers liked the platform.
Yeah, AJ Hawk as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't begrudge anybody. We would love to have him on, but when I had him on, and I met him before he was even starting for the Packers. And I think that he appreciated that I played golf with him out in Tahoe, and, you know, he was an interesting guy, nice guy, you know, a little different, but he was definitely very smart. And I think he remembered that. And every time he came on, you know, we challenged him. We made him think, and that's what you want to do. I think sometimes people don't realize that these athletes, they're competitive. Therefore, when you interview them, you almost have to treat them as an opponent, or they're going to treat you as an opponent. You got to work. And John McEnroe said that to me a long time ago, that, you know, sometimes you got to work to get an answer out of somebody, that sometimes they don't want to give you. A lot of athletes or coaches go into these interviews, but they don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
They'll do the interview. They don't want to say anything, because that usually makes their job tougher. If they say something like, they go, wait, what'd you say? And then they got to explain that, you know, for the next week. But you're trying to get them to really feel like it's a conversation between two people, not, you know, a couple of million people who are listening. And that's the challenge, to get them to relax, be comfortable, and give you almost that, should I be listening to this conversation? And that's the feeling I go for, at least I try to go for every day.
And another one of those guys, I remember just, when you bring up Aaron, I can't help but think about the interview. Was it the Minneapolis Super Bowl? Maybe the last time you handed out the Lombardi there to the Eagles when they beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
You all had him up
yep.
there, and he pretty much almost gave McLovin, you almost had to build McLovin a tombstone. He threw the pass at him.
He knocked McLovin down. He threw one pass that McLovin didn't catch, and you could see the tip of the football left a mark
on
the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then McLovin wanted to catch one. He put on the helmet, and then Aaron threw it, and it had some steam on there. We also had him read his draft profile.
Yeah.
And he kept the paper.
Yeah.
Drew Brees kept yes. the paper. A couple of these guys, when they read it, and you could see them as they're reading it, that these are actual comments. These are scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are so, I mean, they're already Hall of Famers. And Brees said, can I keep this? And we're like, sure. Aaron goes, can I keep this? And we're like, sure. And he goes, can you find out the names of the people who said this? And I'm going, sure. And then we did. We're yeah. like, people actually said these things.
What a different time. There, one final thing I wanted to hit on there with you. We can't talk football right now without talking about Deion Sanders. I think about the times y'all had him on the show. I remember one of the Super Bowls, was it Seton that he outran while going backwards at the Super Bowl? Was it in Houston? Am I remembering that right, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ran backwards, and I think he even outran Brandon Marshall.
That'd be the wide receiver, not the linebacker, right?
Yeah, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
And Deion had the turf toe. He actually took his shoe, and I think in Minneapolis he took his shoe okay. off and his sock off to show us his toes, and they were messed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we fast forward to him getting those amputated.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're around fast guys, but then when you're around fast guys and then you have a fast guy around the fast guy, that's what you had with Deion. He was a fast guy around fast guys.
Yeah.
And you can't really understand that speed until you actually see it like that. And you go, oh, my goodness, that's such a different gear than what you're used to seeing. Tyreek Hill
yeah.
is fast around fast people. But Deion, that was an acceleration. And he was 48 at the time.
In dress clothes.
Yeah. And we were like, oh my goodness, that was like whoosh, rocket ship. And we were watching it again today. I think it was on today
wow.
or yesterday.
Yeah.
And we just go, wow, that's fast.
Yeah. And well, speaking of rocket ships right now, him in Colorado, what is your thoughts on what he's doing right now in Boulder? Because it's obviously the biggest topic, not only in college football, but really in football in general right now.
Well, you couldn't replicate this without the transfer portal, because it used to be you had to sit out a year. Deion's just taking advantage of A, Deion, B, the transfer portal. It's not even name, image, and likeness. You know, a lot of these other schools, they're benefiting because they're able to pay people more money. That's not what's happening with Deion. Deion's just getting kids who want to play for him, and that's what's scary. That's what these other coaches should be worried about. You imagine the Colorado boosters now want to get involved because they realize what they may have here.
Mm-hmm.
Now you bring in Deion and you bring in NIL. Uh-oh, look out, because then that could expedite this even quicker than it already has.
Yeah, Chris Fowler better back up a Brinks truck there to get the NIL rolling, get his alma mater. Should be very good. But, Dan, thanks so much for doing this. I've enjoyed the book so far. Can't wait to finish it up. That's, again, the Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, the NFL's Greatest Players, Plays, Scandals, and Screw-Ups, plus stuff we totally made up. Find it wherever books are out right now because it's been out since earlier on this month. This has been a passion bucket moment for me. I hope I've thrown up enough references into your show here. Maybe one more Bang Biscuit. I used to say that around girls in high school. For some reason, it never worked for me. I don't know why. But that's how it goes. But thank you so much for all your time today. It's been a pleasure. It's been a wonderful pleasure for me.
All right, Dick. Thank you, buddy, and good luck.
Hey, thank you, too, and suck it, Mario. Thanks, Dan. Dan Patrick joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. We'll pick some games right after this on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
We'll be in the Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Hilton here with you as always. Want to say a big thank you to our great guest this evening, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, 2-time Super Bowl champion, Jerry Kramer, for joining us here tonight. Thank you so much to Jerry. Also, a big thank you as well to the guest who just joined us in the last segment. That would be Dan Patrick, the great sports broadcaster, joining us both in the preview of their new books that have came out this month. That's Run to Win there by Jerry, and the Occasional Accurate Annals of Football there with Dan Patrick. You can find those books wherever books are being sold right now. But thanks to both of those guests for joining us here this week. And now it's time to head to our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. And let's start off with our standings from last week, fellas, because Alan Gregory from the Bristol Herald Courier, our guest picker from a week ago, had the best week we've ever had on this segment. 92.3% for Alan, 24 out of 26. He went perfect in high school in Virginia, perfect in high school in Tennessee. He missed only 2 college games. He had Oregon State over Washington State and Emory Henry over Wingate, where his 2 misses. He missed the Emory Henry game by a pretty good margin. Only missed the Oregon State game by 3 points. Pat Kenny, our defending champion, still in 2nd place. Heather Williams from WCYB, our 2021 champion, in 3rd place. Kenny Hawkins, new sports director from WJHL, is in 4th place. And then Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News remains in last place. And now
I think Alan Gregory had a Larry Bird moment there. M3-point contest. Who's playing for 2nd place?
Who's playing for 2nd? Hey, you want 2nd?
Yeah,
you got 2nd over there? You got 2nd there, Mark Price? Del Ellis, anybody want 2nd place over in that corner? But how about Casey Getz? Would you like 2nd place? Or maybe you can beat him out there for 1st. Casey Getz from WCYB and Fox Tri-Cities joining us. Casey, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Man, I appreciate it. So I got to follow the best ever of your pick segment with Alan, and you got an A-list guests on this show with Dan Patrick. So, I mean, you guys are really stepping it up here. I don't know why. You might as well just call the celebrity pick'em. No one's going to beat Alan, but I'll try for 2nd place.
Well, I saw you last week, and I said, you know what, we got to get Casey on here pretty soon. And, we already had the big guests lined up. We had Alan last week. I said it'd be the perfect time to get Casey. Just keep the roll going. Only bettering the show week in and week out. The tough part is trying to move into next week and trying to keep replicating all of this. Let's go ahead hit the Food City game picks, fellas. Let's start off in college football as we're already into week five, and Corey Uvalde-Wise is maybe ready for October to come around, but they got one more game left here in September on the 30th on Saturday. This was a game that got moved up to Friday a year ago because of the hurricane. This time they're still playing it on Saturday, this time in Hickory, North Carolina, against the Fighting Rick Barnes, Sanchez. Uvalde-Wise at 1-3 travels taking Lenoir Ryan. They're 4-0, 2 p.m. on WAXM right here on 93.5. Who wins from the Cavaliers and the Bears, Corey?
I think it's going to be the Bears, yeah. Definitely
going to
be the Bears.
Oh, man. Zach, can you hear it in his voice there? Mr. Uvalde-Wise is not feeling great confidence about the Cavs right now.
He is defeated, and that's all right, Corey. Come here. I'll give you a hug. Let me tell you something.
For me.
You go to Lenoir Ryan, you're in for a fight. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't see the Highland Cavaliers coming out of Hickory with much glee on Saturday. I'm going Lenoir Ryan big.
Casey.
Yeah, I did see Emory and Henry a couple weeks ago, right? They played 8 overtime game down at Lenoir Ryan.
Newberry.
Okay, yeah. Newberry. All right. Well, then I have my pick changed. I'll go Lenoir Ryan then.
Lenoir Ryan for Casey and Corey and Zach. I'll go Lenoir Ryan as well. You know, in the 3 years of doing Uvalde-Wise, I never broadcasted a football game. Lenoir Ryan did several basketball games, have a few good stories to tell. But Lenoir Ryan will be the pick there at home.
I did a game at Lenoir Ryan, but I never did a basketball game there.
See, just the differences there, Zach. The differences.
Yeah.
Differences.
I watched the Duggar kid score 4 touchdowns in the first 5 minutes of the game on Uvalde-Wise one time. That was pretty spectacular.
That would be the future New England Patriot, correct?
Yes.
Emory Henry's going to travel to Catawba. There's not much to talk about there. Salisbury, both of these two teams are 2-2. 6 p.m. kick there for the Wasps and the Indians. Zach Helton, who do you like there in Salisbury?
Salisbury, great town, great people. Last time I was there, I had some Salisbury steak. I'm going to go Catawba in this one.
Catawba for Zach. Corey, who do you like? I think I already know.
Not a big Salisbury steak fan because, you know, you get too many bugs on it, and you can't stand bugs, so I'm going to go with Catawba.
You put gravy on bugs, it's good.
Yeah, I was trying to say, if you just put the gravy on it, you don't even notice the bugs. I'm with Zach on that one. I don't know, maybe that's just a Southwest Virginia delicacy there. I'm not sure. Casey, where are you at with this?
I'm going to take Emory and Henry. I see both of these teams are 0-2 in the league, so someone's going to get their first conference win. I'll take Emory and Henry on the road.
Catawba was in a mess last year. They were the worst team in the league, if not for Erskine, maybe. They didn't have to play each other, though. They got a new coach. I think Emory Henry goes in there and takes advantage of all that. I'm going to go with Casey. Give me Emory Henry on the road to move to 3-2 and get Kurt Newsom and Emory Henry their first sack win of the year. 2 p.m. on the CW. Virginia still looking for their first win of the year. This is on Saturday of Boston College going on the road to take on the Eagles up on Chestnut Hill. Boston College nearly beat Florida State 2 weeks ago, then got hammered by Louisville last week, Casey. Hammered by Louisville, yes. Now, Boston College only favored by a field goal against the winless Cavaliers. How does Tony Elliott and Virginia do up on Chestnut Hill?
How about the ACC on the CW? You know, loving these games on the CW. I'll start off with, I think, Pitt, Cincinnati. We had Georgia Tech, Wake Forest last week, so we get some really good games on the CW, you know. But I'll take Boston College in this one over the winless Cavaliers.
You rattled off the first two games there. Cincinnati upset Pittsburgh. Georgia Tech upset Wake Forest. Corey, can Virginia upset Boston College?
Just be considered an upset if it happens. Gosh, I don't.
Well, one of these teams don't have any wins.
You know what? Let's go with the Cavaliers in a shocker. I'm liking some of these leans, and I'm going to go contrarian here. Let's go with UVA to win.
That's a paycheck pick there, Zach. Where are you at in this one?
Yeah, I remember when I was a young lad in the old country, me and my grandfather would gather around the black and white TV and watch college games on Saturday on the CW, and he would feed me hard candy, and he would tell me, shut up. UVA's losing. We're watching this. So it's going to happen again. UVA's going to lose this one in Boston College, and the world is the right place.
Wow, what a story. Boston College only favored by 3. Boy, that makes me want to go Virginia. Really desperately bad, but I can't. They haven't won a game yet, Corey. I can't do it. Give You're me Boston College at home. Tom Wormy on the call. Tom Wormy right back where he's supposed to be on the CW. Former guest star on One Tree Hill. Obviously the play-by-play broadcaster now there. He is in his rifle spot on the CW. We just always got to remember we don't want to be that. Pittsburgh travels to Virginia Tech, 8 p.m. on the ACC Network. Zach, Virginia Tech has gotten hammered by Rutgers. They lost close games to Purdue and Marshall in recent weeks. Pittsburgh was a team that's been an ACC contender in recent years, but they're 1-3 after tough losses to North Carolina, West Virginia, and Cincinnati. And yet they're in Blacksburg and Virginia Tech. After all of this bad start here, they're only a 2.5-point dog to the Panthers. Who wins at Lane Stadium Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, Tech has been awful. That is par for the course here the past couple of years. But I really think some Saturday night magic may be sprinkled upon this game. I'm going to go heart over mind in this one. I think Virginia Tech's going to pull out an upset in this one and beat Pitt at home. They're due for one. They're due for one, and I think they get it this week. Now, maybe they go 0 for the rest of the year. Who knows? But I think they're due for one here, and I think they beat Pitt at home. These games with Pitt are always wacky, so I could see this going in favor of the Hokies.
Casey, boy, if Pittsburgh loses this one, Pat Narduzzi's going to lose his sun visor at this point. If they keep rattling off these losses, they went out there and got the quarterback transfer from Boston College. It hasn't worked. They lost to a Cincinnati team who backed that up with a loss to Miami, Ohio a couple weeks ago. Who wins from the Panthers and the Hokies?
Yeah, look, as a Pittsburgh former, you know, grew up in Pittsburgh, yeah. You know, Pat Narduzzi's done well recently, but I think maybe it's time for a change up in Pittsburgh with the Panthers. Phil Dracovich, you know, is a local kid, went to high school in Pittsburgh, but he's kind of been taking some shots at the fans and not working out. His performance hasn't been great. So Pitt, you know, their only win's been over Wofford. I think Virginia Tech, I'm going to go with Zach. I think they're going to play well in this one. And it's low scoring, not a aesthetically pleasing game, but I think Virginia Tech wins. And if that means Pat Narduzzi gets shuttered out the door a little sooner, that'd be just fine with me.
Well, you know what? If Pat Narduzzi wants to find a safe jumping off ground, he spent many years as a defensive coordinator where at Michigan State. They're looking for a coach, just saying. Maybe East Lansing could be one of those spots for him after the departure of Mel Tucker for some other reasoning there, Corey. Everybody's on Virginia Tech so far. Everybody's going out there with the sweet fruit on the plus 2.5. Where you at on this one in Blacksburg?
Yeah, I guess Pittsburgh's going to win this game, but I can't go with them. I'm going to go with the Hokies in this.
Wow, everybody's on Virginia Tech. See, I was throwing it out there. I was sort of trying to see if anybody take the bait on it. I'm going to go the other way. Let's go Pittsburgh. I'm going to ride with the Panthers and Pat Narduzzi to get win number 2, first ACC win of the year. I've still got some real doubt about this Virginia Tech program. I think Narduzzi's the better coach in this matchup. Give me Pittsburgh on the road at 8 p.m. on the ACC Network with Wes Durham and Tim Hasselbeck on the call. Let's go back to Friday night, 9 p.m. FS1 big Pac-12 matchup, another top 20 matchup between the best conference in all the land, the one that's going away from us. Let's do a Big 12 versus Pac-2 battle. Utah, who's undefeated, number 10 of the country, travels to Corvallis to take on number 19, Oregon State. They're coming off the tough loss to Washington State. 9 p.m. on FS1. Casey, who do you like in Corvallis between the Utes and the Beavers?
Well, I don't know if Cam Rising is going to play for Utah, but if he doesn't play, I think it'll be much closer. Got the old Clemson quarterback out there at Oregon State, DJ Uiagalelei. I'm going to take Utah. I think their defense will make a couple of plays. Even if Rising doesn't play, I'll take the Utes on the road.
Corey, who do you like right now in Corvallis?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Utes on this one.
Utah for everybody so far. Zach, who do you like?
Yeah, as a D-plus broadcaster here locally, I really go against quarterbacks who have names I can't pronounce. So I'm going to go Utah at home in this one.
That would mean no DJ Uiagalelei. Utah for everybody. I'm going to go the other way once again. Give me Oregon State coming off the tough road loss at Washington State. They routed in the second half. to make that a ball game against the Cougars. Give me the 3 points. Oregon State favored by the field goal. I'll eat the points. Give me the Halloween candy on the last day of September. I will take the Beavers at home. Noon on ESPN on Saturday, Kentucky plays host to number 22 Florida. Florida 3-1. Kentucky is undefeated and kind of sliding under the radar, coming off their first SEC win of the year over Vanderbilt. And the Wildcats are favored by a point last time I looked at the books, Corey. Who do you like at Kroger Field?
Yeah, are we still considering Vandy a SEC school?
Yes, sir.
Give me Florida. Give me Florida in this one.
Wow, Florida on the road for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, fun fact, relegation has sent Vanderbilt to the South Atlantic Conference. So good luck with that, everyone.
Good luck on that trip to Salisbury.
Yeah. Nashville to Salisbury, straight 40 the whole way.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Gators to chomp up the shopping cart in Kentucky. This one.
Does the relegation go for all sports? Because if so, good luck to the folks there in the Music City on trying to get down to Hartsville for a midweek matchup there against the Cobras of Coker on a Wednesday night. That's no easy trip to get to the Lode
Center. Imagine those fans going to LMU, man.
Yeah, wow, shoo.
Where are we?
What is this, and why is this guy's statue here again? What's the connection to Harrogate, Tennessee? No one knows. Casey, who do you like between Florida and Kentucky?
Kentucky hasn't played anybody yet, and even though they did play Vandy, I'm still saying they haven't played anybody. Florida's been more tested with Tennessee, Utah. I like the Gators. I'm also marrying a Florida grad, so if I don't pick them, I might be in trouble.
I was about to say, watch out there. It could be a tough wedding day if things don't go your way on this pick here, Mr. Getz. I've went against all of you on the last two picks. Let's make it three in a row. Give me Kentucky at home. Mark Stoops has had the Gators' number in recent years over this series, whether it's been against Billy Napier, whether it's been against Dan Mullen, whether it was against Jim McElwain. It hasn't mattered recently. I think he does it again this time in Lexington. Give me Devin Leary and Kentucky at home, the home small favorites.
Getting lucky in Kentucky.
Well, that's always the plan. Noon on Fox, Colorado's playing at home to host USC. They're coming off a big loss to Oregon, and by big, I mean by the number 36. 6 points to the Ducks in Eugene. Number 8 USC is favored by a similar number to Oregon was a week ago. Oregon was favored by 21 points. USC favored by 21 on the hook the last time I saw it. Zach, who do you like in Boulder as the Buffaloes return home as they will now host the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and the number 8 team in the country?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this being a 12 o'clock kickoff.
That'd be 10 o'clock local there in Boulder.
Yeah, 10 o'clock local. That's a tough time. The VHSL would expect you to play softball at that time for a state title, but I don't think college football teams should play earlier than noon in their own time zone. I really think the wacky time will help Colorado. I think this is going to be an intriguing matchup. I think Colorado battles, but I think USC wins it in the end.
That sounds like a USC cover play is what I'm hearing. I mean, a Colorado cover play, I should say, there over USC for Zach on the pick.
For entertainment purposes only.
Yes, yeah. Bring out your blankets for the early kickoff there in Boulder. Casey, who do you like between the Trojans and the Buffaloes?
I'm going to take USC. I do think it'll be a much closer game for Colorado than what they had out at Oregon being at home. But I just think Caleb Williams will be a little bit too much. You know, obviously still no Travis Hunter for Colorado, so I think Caleb Williams and USC maybe win a shootout in Boulder.
Corey, everybody was all in on Colorado before last week. Everybody's going to USC now. Where are you at on this one?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Coach Prime, and now that he talks about you have to be watching the film, and he gets all the film breakdowns and numbers of players watching the film. I've watched the film, and Caleb Williams is going to light up the Buffalo.
USC for everybody. Give me USC as well. I don't know if they're going to be able to cover the 21 points and maybe a little bit of extra change on the side, but I will take USC on the road. I do think Colorado puts on a better performance than they did a week ago, which means they do get at least 20 offensive yards in the first half.
Corey, I don't think you can legally light up a Buffalo anymore. I think they're endangered.
I won't tell if you don't tell.
Okay, there you go.
No one listens to me anyway. Yeah, so I won't tell anyone.
There you go. Thank you very much. Hopefully, Dion can help you all out with that in any needs you all may need. I did see he's down doing KFC commercials there with his son and Nicki Minaj this week. Wow, I tell you what, they are busy out there in Colorado.
Sell me that chicken.
Thank you. 3:30 on ABC, top 25 matchup in the Big 12, at least for the moment. Number 24, Kansas travels to Austin to take on the Longhorns, who are still number 3 in the country. They're both 4-0. Texas favored by a little more than 2 touchdowns on their way to 3 and a field goal. Casey, who do you like in Austin between the Jayhawks and the Longhorns?
I like Texas. You know, this game might be closer than it should be. Texas always seems to play up and down to the level of their competition. I know Kansas is ranked, but not a traditional power. I like Texas, but I think it might be closer than the number.
I'm hearing a Lee Corso lean there out of Casey. Corey, he's saying a little bit closer than the experts think. Who do you like in this one with your lean between the Jayhawks and the Longhorns in Austin?
Well, I know that the public is hammering Texas. With that saying, I am going to go with the public there. I'm not going to go on the contrarian thought.
Wow, you're going against that's going against the rule there, though, Corey. You're going against the rule.
I know. So that means Kansas is going to win. That's a layup for you.
Well, at least that Kansas is going to cover the 16 of the hook, maybe. Yeah. We'll see. We'll keep an eye out there. You know, 3:30 on ABC, they're getting a lot of eyes on them on Saturday afternoon. Zach, who do you like in Austin?
I like to dub this the "we got Kevin Durant and you didn't" bowl. I'm going to go Kansas – or no, I'm going to go Texas at home. I don't think Kansas is quite there yet as a football program.
Well, and when you bring up Kevin Durant, you may say that to Kansas, and they'll say, yeah, but we had the 13 consecutive Big 12 titles. Have a nice day on your walk back through over to the SEC. I will take Texas at home as well. I think Kansas keeps us closer. Remember, Leipold beat Texas in his first year at Kansas, and Sarkisian's first year at Texas, he had the first win over him. Texas got revenge last year in Lawrence, Texas, too much for him this time. But Kansas, good football team, just nowhere near Texas's talent level, where I think Texas may lead the country this year, maybe outside of Georgia in NFL draft picks this coming spring. I'll go Texas at home. Top 20 SEC matchup. This will be an SEC matchup for years to come. 6:00 on ESPN. Number 13, LSU, coming off a close win in the final seconds over Arkansas. They travel to Oxford to take on number 20, Ole Miss, coming off a 2-touchdown loss on the road to Alabama. 6 p.m. on ESPN. Corey, who do you like in Oxford between the Tigers and the Rebels? If you're wondering, Ole Miss, about a 2.5-point home dog last time I saw the number.
Yeah, just kind of rough there, right? Let's go. I know they're my eliminator, so I'm going to we're going to backdoor cover this one up, and I'm going to go with Lane and the Rebels.
Oh, you're going to go Ole Miss. You're going to go against LSU and maybe make a change in the eliminator coming up next week. We'll keep an eye on that. Have been a ton of changes in recent weeks. Zach, you've liked Lane Kiffin. You liked him last week. Do you like him this week?
I still love Lane Kiffin. I'm going to go Ole Miss to get back and get a win and stay alive in the SEC West.
Two picks for Ole Miss here, Casey, as the reigning SEC West champions make the trip down there. Lane Kiffin doesn't have a big win to put on his resume yet. Really, he's a head coach, to put it quite frankly, let alone during his time at Ole Miss. Can he get one this time around against LSU?
No, I'm going to take LSU, Brian Kelly. I think Jaden Daniels, their quarterback. Ole Miss, their offense struggled after that first drive at Alabama last week. I think LSU's offense can put up some more points. I like the Bayou Bengals on the road.
I was ready to write down Ole Miss, and then I kept talking myself in and myself out of it. I like that 2.5 number. I find it interesting. They're coming off the tough loss. LSU massacred Mississippi State 2 weeks ago, came home and had trouble against an Arkansas team that lost to BYU the week before last week. Ole Miss needing that finally big signature win for Lane Kiffin. And then everybody started going a little Ole Miss there. Casey's going to go LSU. I'm going to go LSU as well on the road. I just had to remember, Lane Kiffin doesn't win big games. I like Lane. He's a wonderful guy, really good offensive mind. But let's just put it here bluntly. Lane Kiffin doesn't win big games. I go LSU on the road. 7:30 on ABC. Number 11 Notre Dame coming off a big loss at home. They're hopeful they'll put 11 players on the field now that they're ranked 11 in the country as they travel to Durham. And they take on the Wallace Wade Wackos as the Cameron Crazies make their way across campus to Wallace Wade Stadium on Saturday night for number 17 Duke. Getting College Game Day for a first time, they get the 7:30 ABC game after already having the standalone Labor Day night game in Durham earlier this year. Zach, who wins between the Irish and the Blue Devils in Durham? And yes, this is a big football game in Durham.
Yeah, this is where are we at in the world right now that Duke is hosting a primetime Saturday night game on ABC? I don't know. For that, I think Notre Dame knows that they let that one slip away last Saturday against Ohio State. I think they're ready to go and ready to prove the world that they're still in the mix because, you know, a one-loss Notre Dame team is going to be in the mix at the end of this one. So I think they go down and get things done at Duke and get the win.
Yes, and I believe if they do go 11-1, they should be in the mix. If their only loss is a 3-point loss at home to Ohio State team, that I think is going to compete and win the Big Ten. I think they should still be in the mix. Notre Dame for Zach. Casey, who do you like in Durham?
I'm going to go Notre Dame as well. You know, this is going to be – if this was a basketball game, I would go Duke, but they're used to this. But for the guys, I mean, they got game day is going to be there. For everyone's been telling them all week how great they are. A lot of distractions this week. Notre Dame, tough loss. If they lose this game, basically their season's over in terms of any playoff aspirations. So I think Notre Dame, Sam Hartman will get a win and upset the College Game Day experience for the Dukies.
And it's interesting because Mike Elko Core, the head coach now at Duke in his second season, the former defensive coordinator at Texas A&M, the former defensive coordinator at Wake Forest, but the job he had in between those two, he was the defensive coordinator for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. Prior to who did he hire? Yes, Marcus Freeman is his defensive coordinator. There's always a wraparound in this business. How does Mike Elko do against the guy who ended up becoming the head coach in South Bend after he left to go to College Station to work for Jimbo Fisher?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame is
going to
bounce back this week. They're
going 5-1. Notre Dame, for everybody, I've got to go Notre Dame as well. They're in my eliminator. I've got to stick with them. I was disappointed of how Saturday night ended there in South Bend against the Buckeyes. Me, Lou Holtz, and anyone else out there were very disappointed by it. But hopefully Ryan Day can, you know, maybe move on with his life. I'm going to go Notre Dame on the road as well. 7:30 on ABC. I'm looking forward to that one. But the game I'm looking forward to the most at 7:30 is 7:30 SEC Network. Let's head to Knoxville. Casey, the Volunteers are playing host to the Gamecocks, and they're looking for revenge. It's a dish best served, I guess, in black these days. Tennessee's going all black for the uniforms on Saturday night against the Gamecocks. Tennessee favored by almost 12 points against South Carolina. They're both 3-1. Tennessee coming off the bad loss to Florida 2 weeks ago. South Carolina gave Georgia a ball game 2 weeks ago, Casey, on that same day. But yet Tennessee's favored by almost 12 in Knoxville Saturday night. How do the Vols do against Shane Beamer and those Gamecocks?
I'll be curious to see what Joe Milton. I know he got banged up in that game last week against the Roadrunners. I'm assuming he's going to play. Just don't know how healthy he's going to be, if that will limit his running ability at all. And in South Carolina, they're one of their top playmakers. He's out. He killed Tennessee last year. I think Juice Wells.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee, they've been waiting for this game. It's been circled last year. I think Tennessee wins. South Carolina's a little banged up right now. I think Tennessee wins, and I think they cover as well.
Spencer Rattler had his greatest performance of his life outside of maybe a Netflix show, Corey, last year in Columbia against Tennessee. How does he do for an encore?
Yeah, this was the day we saw your soul leave its body, Jacob.
I hated this day.
Yeah. And I think it's going to return back to your body. Give me the Vols in this game.
Thank you very much. I went last week. I was there in Neyland last week, Zach. I wanted to get some good juju, some real good wells out of this here. But it's maybe going to work for the Vols or your boy Beamer.
Well, I think you've been baptized in the Tennessee River, so I believe in Tennessee. I love Shane Beamer, but I don't think I don't think they can go into Knoxville and pull it off, especially with guys banged up like they are this week.
And remember, South Carolina didn't have a great performance against Mississippi State. If you watched that game Saturday night, it was deep ball after deep ball after deep ball for both sides. Maybe we'll see if Milton can connect on a few there for Tennessee and maybe trying to take advantage of that there against the Gamecocks. I'll take Tennessee at home as they sort of get things rolling into a bye week before they come out and host Texas A&M, who's going to have to go to a backup quarterback as Connor Weichmann's season comes to a close there for the Aggies. Out to go all Tennessee as well there for the Volunteers. Northeast Tennessee, let's go high school football here. Fellas, let's pick up the pace a little bit on these Tennessee high school games. Volunteers looking for their first win of the season, Corey. They're going to do so as going to Jonesboro, taking on the former UVA Wisecavalier, Hayden Shanley, and David Crockett, who sit at 2-3. Falcons or Pioneers?
Oh yeah, they're going 0-6 on this one. Give me David Crockett.
Zach. We'll see if we lost Zach. Hold on a second here. Casey, go ahead and give us a pick on this one.
You know, actually, I'm gonna take the upset. I'm gonna go Volunteer getting their first win of the season. Jesse McMillan and company going on the road. I'm gonna take Volunteer to get the win and their first of the season.
Very good. All right. Volunteer for first pick of the year, maybe on the entire show. Somebody's went with the Falcons. Zach, you with us there? Who you like hearing Volunteer and David Crockett?
No Falcon way. David Crockett gets beat.
David Crockett at home there for the Pioneers and Corey and Zach. I'm going to go David Crockett at home as well. I'd love to see Jesse McMillan and Volunteer finally get a win. I don't think it's this week, though. David Crockett's won the last six in this series. They make it 7 straight. Give me David Crockett. Sullivan East travels to Greenville. Sullivan East got hammered by Elizabethton last week. Now Greenville, sitting there undefeated, is going to play host to them this time around. Zach, who wins between the Patriots and the Green Devils?
Yeah, Sullivan East is going to get brought down to the real world here. Sullivan East, Greenville, Northeast Tennessee Power. That's going to be a great environment Friday night. I like Greenville at home.
Casey, Sullivan East, and J.C. Simmons been a wonderful story, and they still are, even with these couple of losses expected to be at least to Elizabethton and now Greenville. Do you see it going that way for them on Friday night?
Yeah, look, I mean, Sullivan East, I mean, barring a collapse, they're going to make the playoffs, which that was their goal this season. I mean, beating Greenville and Elizabethton not happening. Greenville is going to win by as many as they want to.
As many as they want to is the call by Casey Getz. Corey, who do you like in Greenville?
Yeah, give me the Green Devils.
Green Devils for everybody. I'll go Greenville as well. Westridge travels to Science Hill. Science Hill coming off a nice win over William Blount. They're sitting there at 500. Westridge 4-1. This is the Fox Tri-Cities game there for Casey Getz and the WCYB group on Friday night there at Kermit Tipton Stadium, Steve Spurrier Field. Casey, you were in Big Stone Gap last week. The folks in Big Stone are rooting hard for Science Hill. They'd love to see the Hilltoppers pick up some more wins down the stretch of the season, help out their points number when it comes to the Region 2D playoffs in the postseason in general. Who do you like in the game you have Friday night in Johnson City?
You know, I like Science Hill. They made a quarterback change last week, started Spencer Taylor for the first time, so he's more of a downfield throwing threat. I like Science Hill. West Ridge, actually, their quarterback Trey Frazier is going to be out of this game with an injury, so I'm still going to pick Science Hill. Before I knew that, but I'm still going to take Science Hill, and unfortunately Frazier will not be playing for West Ridge this week.
The last two coaches at Sullivan South going up against each other here. Stacy Carter was the head coach at Sullivan South. He left to go to Science Hill. Justin Hilton replaced him. Now Justin Hilton, now the head coach at Westridge. Corey, who wins this time at Kermit Tipton between the Wolves and the Hilltoppers?
Give me the Toppers.
Science Hill for Corey and Zach. Corey and Casey, I should say. Zach, who do you like between Science Hill and Westridge?
Well, you know, it's sad. Donnie Frazier left Ridgeview to go coach elsewhere, and now Ridgeview South lost their quarterback named Frazier, who's injured. I'm going to go Scientific Hill at home in the win.
That was a good wrap around there. Cut all that. Science Hill at home for me as well. Big game in Kingsport at J. Fred Johnson Stadium. Dobbin's been at 3-2, and finally this game is happening. It's been rumored for so long that they wanted this. Some people didn't want it. This person. But either way, Elizabethan's undefeated, and they're finally going to go see the band in Kingsport. Corey, who went at J. Fred Johnson Stadium on Friday night between the Cyclones and the Indians?
Give me Betsy.
Ooh, Elizabethan on the road for Corey. Zach.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they get through the entire thing and everyone has fun. I'm going to have Betsy, though, on the road to get the win.
Elizabethton on the road. Casey, who do you like there in Kingsport between the Cyclones and Sean Witten and the Indians and Joey Christian?
Elizabethton on the road. That's all they've been all year. Still haven't played a home game. This is their last road game of the season. I like Elizabethton to stay undefeated and get this much-anticipated matchup with a good, pretty good game between the two. I'll take the Cyclones.
I like Elizabethton on the road as well. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, they were supposed to play the Daniel Boone game at home before that game got canceled because of Daniel Boone and Morristown West having to move their game back a few days. So that cost them a home game there against the Trailblazers. I like Elizabethton on the road as well. Let's hit one cross-state game here. Thomas Walker travels over to Carter County to take on the Rangers of Unaka. Thomas Walker 2-2. Unaka sitting there at 1-4. Zach, Pioneers or Rangers over in Carter County?
Well, I get confused sometimes. I don't remember if it was Birdman or Dr. Thomas Walker who said, put some respect on my name. But I'm going to go Thomas Walker on the road for the win. We're pro Cumberland here.
Yes, we are, and they're coming off a bye week. I like Thomas Walker on the road as well. Casey, who do you like here between Thomas Walker and Unaka?
I'll take the Rangers at home.
Ooh, Unaka and O'Brien Bennett for Casey on the pick. Corey, who do you like in this Southwest Virginia versus Northeast Tennessee battle?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Unaka.
Ooh, Unaka at home for both Corey and Casey. Unaka sitting there at 1-4, Thomas Walker 2-2. They've only played two previous times. Unaka won both of them in 1987 and 1988. This time, though, Thomas Walker gets the win on the road. I'm going to go with Helton and the Pioneers. Southwest Virginia Week 6. Boy, I'd say somebody's trying to find a way to find some momentum in this 2023 season in a Northwood at Castlewood battle. Northwood sitting there at 1-4, Castlewood 0-5. Casey, who do you like between the Panthers and the Blue Devils?
I'll take Northwood. We have a guy that works with us. His wife teaches at Northwood, so I'll go with the Panthers.
That's a good enough reason for me. Corey, who do you like there between Northwood and Castlewood?
I'm sorry, would you call me again?
Corey?
Let's go with – I'll go Castlewood to get their first win.
Castlewood at home for Corey. Zach, who do you like there between the Blue Devils and the Panthers? You've sort of been trying to keep some faith there in Castlewood the last couple of years.
Yeah, I always have faith in Castlewood and the boys down there. If you go to a game at Castlewood, get the barbecue under the scoreboard. That stuff is awesome. This game will not be pretty, so just go ahead and get the barbecue to go. I'm going to go Northwood at Castlewood to get the win. Sorry, Patrick. Sorry, Patrick White.
Yeah, sorry there, Cole Breeze. Northwood on the road as well for me. Castlewood, those won the last four in a series. They actually control the all-time series 9-8, but I'm going to go Northwood on the road as well. Grundy travels to Tazewell, a little Region 1D versus Region 2D battle there between the Golden Wave and the Bulldogs. Corey, Grundy or Tazewell for you? Remember, Grundy had the big one over Patrick Henry 2 weeks ago. Then they got hammered by Honaker last week. Can they find some momentum here against Tazewell on Friday night?
I found a game that Zach Helton would love to be at, so I'm going with Tazewell in this one.
Tazewell at home. Zach?
I said no to this one. hey, kids, these two used to be in the same district. Google it. I'm gonna go Tazewell at home as well.
Times do change, though, don't they? Times do change. Yes. Tazewell for everybody so far. Casey?
I'll continue the Tazewell trend. I'll take the Bulldogs.
Tazewell for me at home as well. Lebanon travels to John Battle. This is an important game. You may be sitting there going, well, who cares from the Pioneers and the Trojans? Well, if you want to know who your team may be hosting, if you're one of those top teams in the Mountain District, if you want to know who they may be hosting in the first round of the playoffs, this may be a pretty good indicator, as right now Lebanon would be the 8th seed. John Battle is the 10th seed. About 0.5 of a point separate them, though, right now in Region 2D, battling for those last couple of spots in the playoffs. Lebanon's won their last couple over Castlewood and Richmond. Lands. Zach, who do you like in Bristol between the Pioneers and the Trojans?
Well, you know, I got to see the Lebanese in person last week beat up on the Blue Tornado. I like Lebanon on the road, party at Bonanza, which is better than any restaurant at Exit 7. I'm going to go Lebanon.
Oh, we disagree on that one entirely, but we'll save that for another show. Casey, who do you like between Lebanon and John Battle?
I will take Lebanon as well. John Battle seems like they had trouble scoring some points. I think Lebanon will get them a little bit on the road.
Corey?
Let's go Lebanon.
What's my rule, Corey, about teams we don't really cover a ton? What do I know about their coaches? We have Brad Ricker on the show from time to time. No offense to Daryl Taylor. We've never had him on the show. We're going to go Brad Ricker. That's the rule. We're going to go John Battle. I'll go Trojans by myself on this one. I'll take John Battle, and they keep some playoff hopes alive. If they can win this one, they've got some hopes back with them. If Lebanon takes this one, Lebanon's got some pretty good cushion when it comes to that final playoff spot in Region 2D, and the folks in Big Stone and maybe even Clintwood are going to be keeping a close eye on that. Speaking of the folks in Clintwood, Ridgeview is sitting there at 5-0. They travel to Richlands, and they are sitting on the opposite side of that, 0-5 for Jeff Tarter and the Tornado. Casey, who do you like between Ridgeview and Richlands at Ernie Hicks Stadium?
I like Ridgeview big. Sorry, Zach.
Zach, he already said your name, so I'll go ahead and toss it over to you. You've went against Richlands in recent weeks. Do you continue that trick?
Listen, it's sad. It's sad time in Richlands right now. We've got a football team that's treading water barely, and we just paid a town manager. We overpaid a town manager. So things couldn't be going much worse in Richlands. This is homecoming, which makes it even worse. Ridgeview big. Ridgeview may even leave with our homecoming queen. Who knows?
Corey, accounting is important. Remember that. Accounting is important. Who do you like, though, in this match from the Wolfpack and the Tornado?
Who in their right mind would thought this would be a good game for homecoming?
Well, wait. It's tough to pick a good homecoming game sometimes, my friend.
That's what happens when people who don't know sports get involved in sports.
Well,
that's true.
I'll just leave that there.
Corey?
I'll just leave that there.
That's true.
Any rebuttal?
Yes. It will not be homecoming. It might be a homegoing. I'll give me Ridgeview in this one.
Bless
just,
up.
Just remember something, Corey. Sometimes on homecoming, when people are wondering why it's homecoming, you can still win a top 25 game one of those days. We've seen that a couple years ago. We saw that before. Let's go Ridgeview on the road for me as well at Richlands. Lehigh travels to Rye Cove. Boy, this is a nice game at Southwest Virginia. We're talking about a Region 1D, Region 2D battle of some interesting eyes upon it. Lehigh sitting there at 2-2. Rye Cove is sitting there at 4-1. Corey, who do you like between the Generals and the Eagles at the Eagles Nest?
Yeah, the Eagles Nest, they've got some good concessions there from what I understand.
Okay.
But I think the thing that's going to be good, though, unfortunately, is I think Lehigh is going to take this one.
Lehigh moved to 3-2, according to Corey. Zach, this game 2 years ago, Rye Cove at halftime said, we're good. We're done not only for this game, but for the rest of the year. Now they're 4-1. They're looking for home playoff games for a second straight year for Gary Collier and that bunch down there in Rye Cove. How do they do this time against Joey Carroll and the Generals?
You know, and there's many things to unpack here. One, Corey alluded to it. The Cumberland District has some of the best concession in Southwest Virginia. Let's just throw that out there. We're very pro Cumberland here. Use that as a soundbite, Jacob.
Thank you.
Just thinking back to like 30 years ago, who would think that Lehigh would be traveling to Rye Cove? That's just crazy to me. But it is happening, and I think Rye Cove gets the win.
Whoa.
I think Rye Cove's the better team. Whoa. I think Rye Cove at home is going to be a tough test. War Eagle, sore Eagle, sore.
All right, we're split so far, Casey. Which side are you on?
I'm going to go with the Rye Cove side and Zach. I think
let's go.
At home, you know, last year they hung with Lehigh for a while. I think they're a little better than they were last year. Lehigh not playing, I don't think, as well as they were this time last year. I'll take Rye Cove.
I think Lehigh is going to try to play similarly to what Honecker did against Rye Cove a couple weeks ago. I think Brennan Pendergraft is a big game at the Eagles Nest. Give me Lehigh and a little bit more depth, although actually their numbers are fairly similar when you look at the roster size for this year between Lehigh and Rye Cove. Credit to Gary Collier and their gang getting a good group of players out this year for 2023, but I'll still take Lehigh on the road. We're split on that one there of Corey and I on the Generals and Casey and Zach on Rye Cove. Zach, you bring up the fact of somebody making a road trip that would surprise you. How about Union heading to Nicholsville, the Titan Stadium, to take on Twin Springs? Hello, a big gate to the folks there at Twin Springs. Union comes in at 4-1. Twin Springs is still undefeated. They're one of the last three undefeated standing in Southwest Virginia. Who wins between this Mountain and Cumberland District clash?
Yeah, this is an intriguing matchup. I really think that I do think that Twin Springs keeps it a lot closer than people anticipate. I think that is a it's a very underrated home field advantage down in that bowl. But I do think Union ends up pulling it out to stay to get 5-1. Twin Springs gets their first loss.
And I'll tell you, as I was there a couple weeks ago getting a few things set up there at Twin Springs, they have a new scoreboard they just installed just a couple weeks ago there for Keith Warner and the Titans before the first home game against J.I. Burton. Casey, once the fans finally find their way to Nicholsville, we'll see how long they'll be there in this match for the Bears and the Titans.
Yeah, but I want to see if Keith Chandler plays. You know, you guys saw it last week. He left that game in the second quarter with an injury. They told us that he could have went back in, but since they were winning handily, they kept him out. Don't know if they're going to play him. They got a big game next week with Ridgeview. Even if they don't, Union's going to win this game, but I do think they could be a little flat early after having so many big games in a row, but I think Union will eventually kick it into high gear and run away from Twin Springs.
Yeah, Corey, we talked about this big stretch that they were in when it began with the Science Hill game a few weeks ago. Science Hill, Graham, Gate City, Twin Springs, Ridgeview Central, all in the six-week stretch there. They've made it through half of it so far fairly well. Lost to Science Hill, but a good performance, and then a big road win at Graham. A blowout shutout of Gate City Friday night. How do they do this time against this Scott County team?
Oh, they it's going to be baptizing by the Bears once again. Give me Union.
Union for me as well on the road. I do think they win this one fairly handily. You all know my great respect for Keith Warner and Twin Springs, but I don't think they have anywhere near the depth to stand up to Union over not only a four-quarter game, but really over a couple of a quarter of a ball game on Friday night. And if you're wondering, folks there in Union, you can find your way to Rye Cove from Twin Springs if you maybe want to stop by and look at that matchup on your way back to Big Stone Gap or Appalachia to see Lehigh and Rye Cove Friday night, because I do believe that would be much more of a four-quarter ball game. The game have on our sister station 92.5 and 1220 WLSD and online at WLSDradio.com. At Lawson Fitchko Stadium, Eastside travels to J.I. Burton. The Raiders sit there at 0-4, Eastside at 2-2. Casey, J.I. Burton's looking for a little bit of hope while Eastside trying to keep some momentum going that they had for the first part of the season following a bye week.
I'm going to take Eastside in this one.
Eastside on the road for Casey. Corey?
Ooh. Mike Rose never beat the Raiders so far at home. So I think that changes tomorrow night. Give me the Spartans in probably their closest game of the year so far.
Mike Rhodes and a couple of their staff members, they're certainly getting a close eye on that matchup there between Union and Gate City the other night, as Eastside and was on their bye week, as was J.I. Burton, as was Central. Zach, does it matter this week there between the Spartans and the Raiders?
I don't think so. I'm going to go Eastside on the road.
Eastside for Zach, Corey, and Casey. Give me Eastside as well. Let's head to the Mountain District. That's the game we'll have on 93.5 to BAXM at Falcon Stadium. Corey and I will be there. Who do you like in this matchup, Corey, between Central and Abingdon?
Well, I'm going to go in the thoughts of Mr. Getz. I know a guy whose wife that works with us who works at Abingdon, and I don't think he'd be allowed home if he picked against Abingdon.
You know a guy?
How well do you know him?
You know what? I see him in the mirror every day.
That's what I thought. Thank you very much. That's what I thought. Yes, I think that's probably a good move by you there, Corey, going with Abingdon at home. Not only are we heading there, you've got to head out of there and head home, you know, with some Falcon pride, my friend. Zach, how will Corey be feeling after Friday night?
You know, just a word of advice. Anytime you're in Abingdon, you have to drink with the pinky out. I'm gonna go Falcons at home in this one.
Abingdon at home for Zach and Corey. Casey?
Yeah, I'm going to go Abingdon. I mean, just looking at the numbers, I mean, the Central's coming off their bye week, but they have really struggled offensively this year, and Abingdon seems like they found something after they beat Gate City. I think they're going to just run over Central.
Yeah, I think Abingdon wins this one fairly easily. I think we may have a short one on Friday night there at Falcon Stadium between the Warriors and the Falcons. Remember, this is a really good game. Last year, Abingdon made the comeback. They were down by two touchdowns, had to come back and win it there late in the fourth quarter there between the Falcons and the Warriors up in Norton a year ago. Different story this time around for the Wise native Garrett Ambergy and Abingdon on Friday night between the Falcons and the Warriors. Casey, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Remember that you have the game on Friday night on Fox Tri-Cities, Westridge on the road at Science Hill. Good luck with the pick. Safe travels over there to Johnson City, and hopefully, for your sake, the Gators maybe get a win on Saturday over Kentucky.
Well, hey, at least I picked them. That's all I can control.
You took care of your business. You took care of your job. Yes. You took care of the intangibles on your side of it there. But, hey, as always, Casey, thanks, man.
Guys, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep. Casey Getz joining us here this week on Pigskin Picks is our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. Remember, we have our games this coming week right here on 93.5 to be excellent on Friday night. Central on the road at Abingdon. Then we'll have east side of J.I. Burton on WLSD. And then on Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff from Hickory, pregame at 1:30. UVA Wise travels to take on Lenoir Ryan, as the Cavaliers and the Bears battle there between those two South London Conference opponents on very different sides of the conference standings at the moment. Fellows, we'll talk to you again next week as we'll do this again next Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Bye, guys. Appreciate you. It is going to always be Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WXM. Thanks, as always, to Jerry Kramer and Dan Patrick, our guests, for joining us this week. We'll certainly spend a good portion of next week previewing the Ridgeview Union game that's coming up next Friday night, and who knows what else we may get into as well. As we continue here on Pigskin Picks, for Corey Sanchez, for Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Townsend. We'll talk to you next time on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.